Blog Talk Radio.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, gun control and mass shootings. The mass shootings in America have raised the question, can more regulations avert mass shootings? Could or should present regulations avert mass shootings? Is the solution that simple? What is a mass shooting? Wikipedia says, the United States Congressional Research Service acknowledges that there is a broadly accepted definition and defines a public mass shooting as one in which four or more people selected indiscriminately, not including the perpetrator, are killed, echoing the FBI definition of the term mass shooting. So that means you shoot four more people just because you're a mass shooter, not four people who you got a beef with. Okay, so basically a shooting involving four more people that may or may not result in death. Also, Amy Grass of SF Gate says, the BBC's live feed and the focus of a Newsweek article entitled, there's a mass shooting almost every day in the U.S. stating the horrifying events in Las Vegas on that Sunday night marked the 273rd mass shooting in the U.S. in the 275 days that had passed so far in 2017, according to Gun Violence Archive. CNN, Mr. A.J. Willingham, and Saeed Hamid said mass shooting is any incident in which a gunman shoots or kills four or more people in the same general time and location. We have seen 273 mass shootings from January 1st to October the 3rd. That averaged to 7.5 mass shootings a week. The most commonly accepted government definition only counts incidents where four or more people were indiscriminately killed in a public place. Using that definition, there have been 9 mass shootings from January 1st to October the 3rd. From 1966 to 2012, nearly a third of the world's mass shootings took place in the United States. I want to say that one more time. From 1966 till 2012, nearly a third of the world's mass shootings took place in the United States. A 2016 study looked at 292 incidents in which four or more people were killed. It found 90 of them occurred in America. Put another way, while the United States has about 5% of the world's population, it had 31% of all public mass shootings. Civilians in the United States own about 270 million guns, according to a 2007 report by the Switzerland-based Small Arms Survey. That's enough to arm every adult in the U.S. and still have some weapons left over. And it makes America the number one country in firearms per capita. According to FBI data from 2013, incidents in schools and businesses represent 7 out of 10 active shootings. Let me say this one more time. According to FBI data from 2013, incidents in schools and businesses represent 7 out of 10 active shootings. The Second Amendment. We can't have this discussion without talking about the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment from the Cornell Law School says, the Second Amendment of the United States reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, Here's a dilemma. Or to prevent a dilemma, who knows? Or address a dilemma. Such language has created considerable debate regarding the amendment's intended scope. On the one hand, some believe that the amendment phrase, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, creates an individual constitutional right for citizens of the United States. Under this individual right theory, the United States Constitution restricts legislative bodies from prohibiting firearm possession, or at the very least, the amendment renders prohibitory and restrictive regulation presumptively unconstitutional. It can't stop you from having your firearm. You got a right to that. You're protected by the Constitution. So, provocative thought question is: the right to bear arms is a constitutional right. It is not going anywhere unless we change the Constitution. That is not going to happen. It is not easy to identify people who are dangerous. There are many firearms in the U.S., therefore, it is not easy to ensure that people who are dangerous do not have access to firearms. You never know who, when, or why a person may become a threat to the population. Not all firearms are purchased legally. Will more restrictions increase the sale of illegal weapons? Guns are made to kill, whether it be for food or foolishness. Some guns are specifically made to kill people. When you purchase a firearm, you have purchased an instrument designed to extinguish life. We know what a gun can do. Nothing without a human being to pull the trigger. It does not load itself, and it does not fire on its own. It appears that our gun violence problem is a people problem. Guns, and some guns particularly, increase the degree of the lethality of an assault. From the Christian Science Monitor, 2012. The gun industry is a $31.8 billion a year industry. I like to quote the industry's yearly earnings to let you give you an idea, another idea why it's probably not going away. $31.8 billion is a lot of money. That's a lot of people making a lot of money, and creates a lot of jobs, and, you know, it's probably not going to go away just based on that. From Time in 2012, they say it's a $6 billion estimated revenue generated by the gun and ammunition industry in the U.S., according to an analyst by business research firm Hoover's. That's a drop. Investopedia by Zal Dehatun says the firearm industry in the U.S. is a $14 billion enterprise that employs thousands of people and contributes billions of dollars in tax revenues. There shouldn't be nobody poor over here. Breaking news for NPR in 2013. Mass shootings represent a small share of the total U.S. firearm homicide. Less than 1% of gun murder victims recorded by the FBI in 2010 were killed in incidents with four or more victims. The Guardian says the U.S. is home to 88 guns for every 100 people and sees mass shootings more than 11 times as often as any other developed country, according to a 2014 study from the International Journal of Criminal Justice Sciences. This is the proportion of civilian-owned guns worldwide in the United States, with less than 5% of the world's population. Again, the U.S. is home of roughly 35 to 50% of the world's civilian-owned guns, according to the Small Arms Survey of 2007. So we have a very heavily armed civilian population. And I don't think that's just because it's a constitutional right. I think that has something to do with life here, the culture here. More than 30,000. The number of Americans killed with guns each year, about two-thirds of those are suicide. More than 30,000 Americans are killed with guns each year, about two-thirds of those are suicide. More than 100,000. The number of people shot each year in the United States, according to a study published in the journal Health Affairs. That's a lot, folks. 20 times. Americans overall are 20 times more likely to be murdered with a gun than people in other developed countries. Gun control advocates say this. So my question is, what's up, America? Mass shootings are a bad way to understand gun violence, says Maggie Corrith Baker from the 538. First, they're rare, and the people doing the shooting are different. The majority of gun deaths in America aren't even homicides, let alone caused by mass shootings. As previously said, two-thirds of the more than 333,000 gun deaths that take place in the U.S. every year are suicides. And while people who commit suicide and people who commit mass shootings both tend to be white and male, suicide victims tend to be older. The median age of mass shooter, according to one report, is 34, with very few over 50. Suicide, however, plagues the elderly as much as it does the middle age. Second, the people killed in mass shootings are different from the majority of homicides. Most gun murder victims are men between the ages of 15 and 34. 66% are black. Women of any race and any age are far less to be murdered by a gun, unless that gun is a part of a mass shooting. There, 50% of the people who die are women, and at least 54% of mass shootings involve domestic or family violence, with the perpetrator shooting a current or former partner or relative. Okay, so it seems like we got people taking rejection, separation, very, very hard and to an extreme here in the United States. The historical trends for different kinds of gun deaths don't all follow the same course. While data suggests that the number of mass shootings similar to the Las Vegas event has gone up, particularly since 2000. You hear that? While data suggests that the number of mass shootings similar to the Las Vegas event has gone up, particularly since 2000, homicide rates have fallen significantly from their 1980, that's the crack, peak, and continue on a generally downward trajectory for most of the 21st century. Meanwhile, suicides are way up, and the biggest increase among women. The trends are different because the situations are different and the people are different. Maybe different solutions are warranted as well. Maybe different solutions are warranted as well. So you're saying it's a complex situation here, this gun violence, and we might need something more complex or different to deal with it, to more appropriately. We're never going to be able to know or prevent people from actually acting, behaving that way, but we want to cut down on the ability to magnify the lethality of their attack. That's a very excellent idea. You could theoretically cut down on all these deaths with a blanket removal of guns from the U.S. entirely. Not going to happen, right? Second Amendment, right? Something that is politically unlikely as it is legally unattainable, barring that through policies aimed at reducing gun deaths will likely need to be targeted at specific people who commit or are victimized by those incidents. The mass shootings just aren't a good proxy for the diversity of gun violence. Police policies that reduce the number of homicides among young black men, such as programs that build trust between community members, police, and at-risk youth, and offer people a way out of crime, probably won't have the same effect on suicides among elderly white men. Background checks and laws aimed at preventing a young white man with a history of domestic violence from obtaining a gun and using it in a mass shooting might not prevent a similar shooting by an older white male with no criminal record. If we focus on mass shootings as a means of understanding how to reduce the number of people killed by guns in this country, we're likely to implement laws that don't do what we want them to do and miss opportunities to make changes that really work. Gun violence isn't one problem, it's many, and it probably won't have a single solution either. Now, I like that, what she said, because that speaks to volumes to what actually happened. NBC News, Miss Elizabeth Chuck, 2015, saying, weapons used in the San Bernardino, California, were purchased legally, raising questions about how preventable gun violence is under current U.S. firearm laws. 82% of weapons involved in mass shootings over the last three decades have been bought legally. 82% of weapons involved in mass shootings over the last three decades have been purchased legally, according to a database compiled by Mother Jones, a magazine that defines a mass shooting as taking the lives of at least four people in a public place. Using that criteria, Mother Jones has found 73 mass shootings since 1982. When an individual goes to buy a firearm, they're subject to investigation under the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, the NICS. A 72-hour hold is put on the sale. But because federal law operates under the idea of default proceed, the sale can legally go through after 72 hours, even if a background check hasn't been completed. About 9% of background checks require further investigation, according to the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. New York Times, How They Got Their Guns, by Larry Buchanan, Josh Keller, Richard A. Opel Jr., Daniel Victor, 2007. A vast majority of guns used in 17 recent mass shootings, including guns believed to be used in the Las Vegas shooting, were bought legally and with federal background checks. At least 8 gunmen had criminal histories or documented mental health problems that did not prevent them from obtaining their weapons. There we have a problem. We have a system in place for some reason. People fall into the cracks of the system. 58 people were killed and more than 500 wounded when Stephen Paddock, from a perch high in a hotel, opened fire on a crowd. We know this, right? In Las Vegas. Authorities recovered an arsenal of weapons, at least 23 from his hotel room, including an AR-15-style rifle. Since 1982, Mr. Paddock started buying firearms in 1982, said Jill Snyder, a special agent. Within the last year, Mr. Paddock legally purchased 33 firearms from October 16 to September 2017. Now, call me stupid or silly or whatever, but he purchased 33 firearms from October 16 to September 17th, and there's no red flag. I don't know. Is it me? Such purchases do not prompt report to the Bureau because there is no federal law requiring a seller to alert the Bureau when a person buys multiple rifles, 33 firearms. Come on. Multiple rifles. You got four of them. All right. That's multiple. I think you see the, when you buy the hold, the little chest you can hold your guns, it's like, hold about four rifles in there. All right. Say eight is multiple. This is 33. Should be a red flag. Should have been a red flag right there. But it's not. So if he bought 33, who else bought 20, 30, 40, 50 firearms, 10, you know what I'm saying? Who else is doing that? 58 people were killed when Mr. Paddock fired into the crowd. 22,000 from the hotel. He used at least one semi-automatic rifle modified to make it fire like an automatic weapon by attaching a device called a bump stop after the shooting. Never heard of bump stop until this shooting. Saw how it works on the internet, and I've never seen anything like that before. I'm not a specialist on guns or anything, but I'm just, you know, I never seen a bump stop. I never heard of it. Anyway, authorities retrieved 47 guns from the hotel room and Mr. Paddock's residence in Nevada, wherever he lived at. So the Bureau traced almost all the guns and found Mr. Paddock had purchased them across four states, Nevada, Utah, California, Texas. 12 of his rifles recovered from the hotel were each outfitted with a bump stop. Now, a bump stop, that makes your gun, rifle, shoot almost totally automatic. It's not as fast as a totally automatic weapon, but it's faster than the semi-automatic. Semi-automatic, fast. You can pull your trigger. Now you got something that's just making it go even faster. So it's very hard to get away from that. As you see with the crowd, especially if you're in a crowd, it's almost impossible to get away from it. 49 people were killed, 53 wounded, when Omar Mateen opened fire on a crowded gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. He used two guns, a SIG AR-15 style assault rifle and a Glock handgun. The FBI learned that Mr. Mateen had made comments to co-workers alleging possible terrorist ties. An official said the next year the FBI investigated him again for possible ties to an American who went to Syria to fight for an extremist group, but authorities concluded that he did not constitute a substantive threat at the time. There was a red flag again. A few days before the shooting, Mr. Mateen legally bought two guns. A federal officer said he is not a prohibited person, so he can legally walk into a gun dealership and acquire and purchase firearms, said Trevor Bellino, an agent at the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives. June 12, 2016, 49 people were killed and wounded in a crowded nightclub. 49 people were killed and 53 more were wounded in a crowded nightclub. Mr. Mateen was killed inside the club by the police. Wow. You think you might have wanted to watch this guy a little bit or not? But you know what? That's spilled milk. And let's move on to the next one. Before the shooting, we believe that both suspects were radicalized and for quite some time, said David Bolsich of the FBI. The attackers are not known to have had previous contact with law enforcement. So these guys don't have no records or nothing like that. So they went and bought a gun. The one guy, the FBI, was looking at him. So maybe, I guess they don't have a database that says, hey, we looked at this guy when he applies for a weapon. It doesn't connect. It's not, they're not, that database doesn't talk to the other database where it says, oh, if he's has a conviction or anything like that. So maybe these databases need to talk to each other. That database talked, and maybe would have prevented this guy from getting those guns. He could have got a gun illegally from somewhere and did the same thing. So between 2007 and 2012, Mr. Farbrook bought the two handguns legally in California. Federal officials said The guns were purchased at Annie's Get Your Gun, a gun store in Corona, California. So between 2007 and 2012, Enrique Marquez, a former neighbor of Mr. Farouk's family, bought the two assault rifles in California. Mr. Marquez was later charged with lying about the rifle purchases and supplying the assault weapon to the attackers. So, December 2nd, 2015, a couple killed 14 people at a holiday party. Moments before the attack began, Ms. Malik posted an oath of allegiance to the Islamic State on Facebook. Christopher Harper Mercer killed 9 people at Umpagua Community College in Oregon. I hope I said that right. Christopher Harper, 26, killed 9 people. And he was a student there at this college. He was armed with 6 guns, including a Glock pistol, a Smith & Wesson pistol, a Taurus pistol, and a Deltron assault rifle, according to the Associated Press. He only had 2 hands. I was even carrying all that stuff. Did he have something that made you carry them guns? Anyway, Mr. Lee Flagan, the second, 41, shot and killed a Winoke, Virginia television reporter and a cameraman with a Glock handgun while they were reporting a story live. Mr. Flanagan filed a lawsuit against a TV station in Tallahassee, Florida, that had fired him, alleging he was a victim of racial slurs and bullying. 2012, he was hired at the WDBJ in Roanoke. But within months, his bosses had documented problems with his harsh language and aggressive behavior. He was later fired and filed another harassment lawsuit. June 2015, federal officers said Mr. Flanagan bought the gun legally from a licensed dealer. August 2015, Mr. Flanagan killed the reporter and cameraman, injured a woman who was being interviewed, and died after shooting himself. So he fits both categories. He's a mass shooter, and he shot himself. So he's part of that percentage of people that 2/3 of people who commit suicide in America. July 23rd, 2015, using a .40 caliber semi-automatic pistol bought from a pawn shop, Mr. Hauser killed 2 people and wounded 9 others at a movie theater in Lafayette, L.A. 2006, Mr. Hauser was denied a state-issued concealed weapons permit because he was accused of domestic violence and soliciting arson. Whoa, okay, let me see. 2008, a judge ordered him sent to a psychiatric hospital. And he bought this gun from a pawn shop. So, Mr. Hauser bought the weapon in 2014 in Alabama. Officials said it had been purchased legally, though he had been denied a concealed weapons permit earlier, and despite concerns among family members that he was violent and mentally ill. 2015, he killed 2 people in Lafayette. How did that happen? Because this is a guy who was apparently identified. Through the crack, that's a pretty big crack right there, though. June 17, 2005, Dylan Roof, 21, killed 9 people with a .45 caliber Glock pistol at a historic black church in Charleston. February 2015, Mr. Roof was charged with a misdemeanor for possessing Suboxone, a prescription drug frequently sold in illegal street transactions. I never heard of that. Suboxone, S-U-B-O-X-O-N-E. April 2015, he purchased a gun from a store in West Columbia, South Carolina. Mr. Roof should have been barred from buying a gun because he had admitted to possessing drugs, but the FBI examiner conducting the required background check failed to obtain the police report from the February incident. Really big hole there. That's just neglect. As a result of that, we have 21 killed. Mr. Roof joined the Bible group at the Emmanuel A.M.E. Church. He prayed with him, and then he began to kill him, to slaughter him. October 24, 2014, Jalen Ray, Freiburg, 15, used his father's Beretta pistol to shoot and kill four students in his high school cafeteria in Maryville, Washington. Raymond Lee Freiburg Jr., Jalen's father, was the subject of a permanent domestic violence protection order, which should have been entered into the federal criminal background database. Here we go again. So, Mr. Freiburg applied to buy the Beretta from a gun shop in the Indian reservation where he lived with Jalen. A background check failed to come up with a protection order because it was never entered into the system. There you go. Jalen Freiburg texted five of his fellow students to come to the cafeteria where he opened fire in 2014. Now here we have a situation. We got people who feel so injured, angry. I don't know how they feel, because I haven't spoke with them or anything like that. I don't know if they're psychotic and or they feel hurt or injured by something somebody did, but they're able to get weapons. This guy got his dad's weapon, who shouldn't have had a weapon, who, if certain procedures would have been followed, maybe those lives would have been spirit. April 2014, specialist. Ivan Antonio Lopez opened fire at Fort Hood with a Smith & Wesson semi-automatic pistol, killing three people and wounding 16 others. Now, this sounds like a guy that can't shoot. Specialist Lopez came back from a four-month deployment to Iraq and told his superiors that he had suffered a traumatic head injury there. Military officials said he had never seen combat and was being evaluated for possible post-traumatic stress disorder. So I guess because the paperwork wasn't in, maybe he slipped through the cracks. Let's see. In 2014, Specialist Lopez seen a military psychiatrist as recently as the month before the shooting. He was being treated for depression and anxiety and had been prescribed Ambien to help him sleep. Okay. So there we have mental health. He shouldn't have been able to purchase the gun. In 2014 of March, Mr. Lopez legally bought his gun at the same shop where Nidal Malik Hassan, an Army major, had bought at least one of the weapons used in a 2009 mass shooting on the base that killed 13 people. Man, this ain't history repeating itself. So, on April the 2nd, 2014, Mr. Lopez started firing on soldiers. The question here is, and do Americans have a need or love of weapons? But appears we have a need, or some of us have a desire or need or develop that to be violent and to increase the degree of lethality of our violent attacks. which means to use a handgun, and or use a specific type of handgun or rifle that fires projectiles that are you know, more powerful. We need to start thinking about how these people, as the young lady was saying previously that I read about, how these people, how life impacted upon these people, how should laws or can laws be administered, or, you know, is it a law? Is it even about making a law? You're going to take all the guns out of society, it's not going to happen because of the Constitution. So what are we going to do about these people who are basically injured mentally or emotionally and or emotionally, and what, how are we going to help them? You know, I mean, and I'm not saying you don't need regulation, but it sounds like we have regulation, but they're just, people aren't doing their jobs and people are falling through the cracks. And in some cases, as you see, somebody can get somebody else's gun, even though that one particular case, that kid's dad shouldn't have had a gun. If certain procedures had been followed, he would not have been had access to a weapon, and his son would not have access to a to that weapon. I'm not going to say he couldn't get a gun, because let's face it, we're the most armed country on the planet, civilian-wise. So that's what the civilians have. And, you know, there's always street guns, the things you can buy on the street, you know, I don't know, you know, illegally. So you can always get an illegal gun. So that was convenient. So I'm not going to even say that couldn't have happened. It might have happened just another way, through another avenue. Okay? In 2011, Mr. Alex was given an honorable discharge after showing what Navy officials call a pattern of misbehavior during the 4 years as a reservist. So he had some mental health issues. A month before the shooting, he twice sought treatment from the Department of Veterans Affairs for a psychiatric issue. He told police in Rhode Island that people were pursuing him and sending vibrations through the walls of his hotel. So this guy had some psychosis. All right. September 2013, he was stopped from buying an assault rifle at a Virginia gun store, but was allowed to buy a shotgun. He passed local and state background checks. Okay, what is that about? September 16, 2013, he killed 12 people at the Navy Yard. I don't even understand that. So he didn't. They stopped him from buying an assault rifle, but allowed him to buy a shotgun. As if dead is dead. Doesn't matter if he ever said. I guess they called themselves decreasing the lethality of the gun they were. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me, because it's a rifle. I don't get it. Anyway, he passed the background check, so why didn't you sell him the assault rifle? It doesn't go into that, so I can't even say. And these are some of the people who, you know, have. Oh, we have a call. I'm sorry. I didn't call. Welcome to Provocative Thought. I'm sorry. I kind of got carried away here. Hello? 9042. Hello? Hello? 9042. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Okay, because maybe you're not ready to speak. I apologize. I was looking at the information here. Okay, I'm going to keep it moving. So we have a problem here in the United States, and we need to start looking at us, you know, how our culture, is it our culture, is it, you know, what is impacting on people, you know, that's causing us to be so violent, so angry, that some of us go out. Wait a minute, are tortured enough to go out, and I'm not excusing their behavior, anybody's behavior, because we have some shootings that take place, like you said, from domestic issues, Not to excuse anyone, but how do we nip this thing in the bud? You know, previously I talked about raising the bar, how we deal with people, trying to treat people fairly, and things like that. So how do we, what can we do as individuals to kind of like reduce some of this? You know what I'm saying? Because it goes on and on. So would background checks have stopped recent mass shootings? They say probably not. By Joe John, CNN crime and justice correspondent, and Stacey Samuel. Looking back, background checks did not stop three mass shootings that claimed more than 40 lives since 2011. And we see some of the reasons why it didn't happen. If you don't put the data in, right, background check is through data. So if the person who is supposed to put data in, whose job it is to put data into a database, does not put that data into the database, then the background check is obsolete. If you're in there, it'll stop you. It'll stop that individual. But if you're supposed to be in there and you're not, you're going to end up with a AR-16, AR-15 or something, or M-16 or whatever they're selling. You know, a Glock, couple of Glocks, 22 guns, you know. So in the massacre in Nicetown in Newtown, Connecticut, where 26 people, mostly children, were gunned down at Sandy Hook Elementary School, Adam Lanza used two semi-automatic handguns and a semi-automatic rifle. He didn't get a background check for those weapons. They were legally purchased and registered to his mother. As I just said, you know, you don't have to buy a gun all the time. You can use somebody else's gun. So, Miss Nancy Lanza, who was his first victim, killed her first. In July, James Holmes walked into a crowded theater in Aurora, Colorado, and began shooting his AR-15, two 9mm Glock, a 40 caliber pistol, and a 12-gauge shotgun were all purchased legally. After his name was submitted to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, 12 people were killed. Now, I don't know. There's no explanation for that. Maybe that's a glitch in the actual computer system. I don't know. His name was submitted. Maybe submission does not mean enter. Submission might mean, like you said, that's a human error, and that human being did not put that name into the actual database. The same is true for Jared Loughner, who then shot Rep. Gabriel Gifford and 19 other people, killing six in Tucson in January 2011. His application was never flagged when run through the NICS. That's the data. That's the background check database. The database from which potential firearms buyers are determined legally eligible to purchase a gun. The one shooter that might have been prevented by background check was the Virginia Tech shooter, because he had, in fact, been adjudicated to be potentially violent. National Rifle Association President David Nee, Sing-hee Cho, who killed 32 people in 2007 on the picturesque Virginia Tech campus in Blacksburg, had been deemed mentally ill by a judge, which is the one criteria used to disqualify certain people trying to buy a gun. Others who would be potentially disqualified include convicted felons, fugitives, of course, drug addicts, and domestic abusers. But it wasn't. So I'm thinking maybe we have human error here, because once you're in a database, unless you're not submitting applications into the database, or it's the information has been submitted but not entered into the database, so therefore the database is null and void for individuals who are not in the database for reason of people not following through with their jobs and everything like that. So, but before we even get to that, like as I said, what's driving these people to do this? You know, what are we as a society doing or not doing to help these people? Can tough laws end mass shooting? Can they? Do we think that? What do you think? Pass a law, another one. Do we need more laws, or do we need to just use the ones we have? It sounds to me that the laws that we have now the system is broken by possibly human error. Some human being is not doing their job by entering people into the database, and maybe we need to get to these people, you know, sooner. But you never know when. Like I said, when someone is going to decide that they had enough of something, or someone has a psychotic break, or they've been bullied too much, and they get a hold of a gun. And, of course, that's maybe the first time they break the law in their life, maybe the first and the last time that they ever broke a law, you know, and it'd be a mass shooting. The flag at Desert Hot Springs Condor Gym shot flew at half mast because less than 2 days had passed since two shooters armed with four guns killed 14 people and wounded 20 more at an office party in San Bernardino. The shooting with the FBI was investigating with an act of terrorism forced the nation's attention to the city 40 miles west of Desert Hot Springs, also prompted a flood of calls to Condor Gun Shop, an unheated cabin across from a swath of open desert at the edge of the city. Gun sales increased. So these mass shootings are driving people to the gun store. People in the already heavily armed civilians already heavily armed. I'm not saying they have guns. Apparently, they don't have guns. Then they felt they needed guns. So the people must have multiple guns. Maybe 10 guns is not even, I don't even know how many guns people might have in the house. 10 guns might not even be considered a lot of guns to some people. You got a guy buy 30-something guns. So it prompted a flood of calls to the gun shop, a little teeny gun shop, you know, because of this. People saying, you know, after the mass shootings, longtime gun owners seek to stock up on weapons and ammunition that they think California will try to ban in reaction to the incidents of violence. Ooh, so the longtime gun owners, well, you already got it. You already have a gun. Now you're stocking up on more guns, and you only have two hands. Now, this is what I'm trying to understand. You only have two hands. You're only going to shoot two pistols at a time if you can do that. One rifle at a time with a pistol, two sockets. I don't know. Anyway, they're stocking up on guns because they think they might not be able to get guns. The state legislature often passes a slew of gun control laws in the months after these tragedies. So they tighten up on some of the laws. So before it gets tight, I'm going to get my gun. Oh, we have a caller, 0036. Hello.
Hello. This is Chief.
Yes, how you doing, Q? We have 4 minutes.
I just want to say, listen to what you're saying. It just sounds like the whole thing about guns is kind of fueled by fear, you know. Everybody's reacting to people doing these outrageous things with these firearms, and they feel as though they got to give themselves some protection. They need to arm themselves. It's going to keep happening like that.
Right. They say 40% of the people never owned a firearm in their life after this, after these incidents, due to the incident and the legislation that's going to come down. So they want to be able to, you're right, they want to be able to, they don't want to be the one cowering in the corner. They want to shoot back and pull out a gun.
Right.
It was an incident in West Philly where a guy was shooting in a bar from the outside, and the video showed the patrons shooting back, about three or four patrons shooting back out.
I know that story. I'm familiar with that story.
Right. You know, so I kind of understand it.
Yeah. Yep.
But we have a lot of death due to guns. And but it's like as I previously stated, that most of the deaths are two-thirds of them are suicide, which is sad. So it I'm thinking that we need to take a look at our culture and our society and see how we are injuring people or how people get injured here mentally and emotionally.
Are you saying from the 30,000 deaths by firearms, you're saying two-thirds are suicide?
Two-thirds suicide.
Wow. Wow.
That's not that I know anyway, but I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought it was homicide.
Yeah.
That's just amazing that people feel that distraught that they take their own life. That they take the life of people they don't even know, that you feel so distraught or whatever, I don't know how they feel it, that you feel so bad about something that you're just going to go down and kill like 22,000 down there, I'm going to get a couple hundred of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have something, some thickness going on through our society, you know what I'm saying? And you're gonna it's only more guns to be purchased through, like you say, fear. And I understand the fear. So I'm not gonna knock people down that purchase guns for self defense. But you may purchase a gun for self defense and then something happens to you and now all of a sudden you're the guy on the fence. You know what I'm saying? You're the guy up on the perch taking a shot at over four individuals indiscriminately because you're upset about something or you feel a certain way about something. You know what I'm saying?
Because
You never know. We never know. I bet some of those people were people who people didn't expect would do something like that. Some of them, you know.
Yeah.
But it sounds like some of them are people who shouldn't have had a weapon.
Yeah.
That just fell through the cracks. So everything is not preventable, but you can try. Well, thank you for calling, Kim. Time for us to go now. I want to thank all our listeners for calling.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Stay tuned next week.
You will not be able to plug
thank
in,
you,
turn
Jones.
On, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
Good night.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.